Welcome to episode one of Quality Talk. Today, I want to take a few minutes and highlight the life and work of W. Edwards Deming, also known as the father of quality. First, a bit of background about Deming. He was born in 1900, seems a long time ago, a humble beginning born into a farm family in Iowa. His early years framed his later ideals as wasting anything on the farm was viewed as a terrible tragedy. He had the opportunity to earn his bachelor's in engineering at University of Wyoming, master of mathematics and physics from the University of Colorado, and a PhD in mathematical physics from Yale University. Okay, so the guy had some street cred. But he wasn't all academia. He did teach while he was working on those degrees, and teaching helped connect him back to people. I say back to people because he grew up in a community-centered environment where people helped people and community came together for events like the fair, potlucks, quilting bees, and church gatherings. He was a very well-educated man of the people, which shaped his views and opinions throughout his entire life. But let's look at what was happening after Deming got out into the business world. So at some point, he learned about World War II and what came after that. The timeline for Deming is the early 1950s, after World War II, a time when the U.S. was considered the world power of manufacturing. The auto industry was rolling along, happy with the success of the big three, Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler. Deming had ideas about how to improve quality, productivity, and the life of what he referred to as the willing worker. U.S. management at the time scoffed at his ideas and, quite frankly, laughed and went along business as usual. He clashed with U.S. management system and its ideals. From one of Deming's many books, From Out of the Crisis, which was published in 1982, here's a quote. Part of America's industrial problems is the aim of its corporate managers. Most American executives think they are in business to make money rather than products or service. The Japanese corporate credo, on the other hand, is that the company should become the world's most efficient provider of whatever product and service it offers. Once it becomes the world leader and continues to offer good products, profits follow. So here's what happened in Japan at the same time. After World War II, Japan needed to rebuild what was then a demolished manufacturing sector. They were open to learning new ways of thinking, and since they were quite literally rebuilding, why not consider all their options? The Japanese autos at the time were viewed as the low-quality, cheap throwaway vehicles, real junk. How could they change this reality? Enter Dr. Deming. The Japanese internalized all that Deming had to share, including his statistical quality control methods and his way with people. Deming understood that to create a quality product, you must first create a quality culture. From another of Deming's books, The New Economics for Industry, Government, and Education, published in 1993, Deming said, "A manager of people needs to understand that all people are different. This is not ranking people. He needs to understand that the performance of anyone is governed largely by the system that he works in, the responsibility of management." In the same book, Deming made a statement about management's job. "It is management's job to direct the efforts of all components toward the aim of the system. The first step is clarification. Everyone in the organization must understand the aim of the system and how to direct his or her efforts toward it. Everyone must understand the damage and loss to the whole organization from a team that seeks to become a selfish, independent profit center." So then what happens? Well, let's put it in terms of today. When you visualize the brands Toyota, Lexus, Honda, do you think throwaway cars? Most would respond no to that. These brands today represent quality and reliability and hold their value better than most. To oversimplify a bit, the Japanese were ready for Deming's ideas in the 50s and 60s. The American companies were not. But we did catch on to the Deming fever, even if it did take us until the 1980s when the Japanese had gone racing by. Catch my next podcast focusing on Deming's 14 points of quality. See you then!